Tonight is life groups, and so if you're part of a life group already, they're meeting all over the city somewhere, and if you're not involved in a life group, well, you could find Pastor Sarah after service. She could probably tell you where the nearest one is to your place, or if you want to just come here, it's our life group that meets right here on Sunday night at 6 o'clock, and we're gonna have a singing tonight. We're not singing, we're having a singing. And Roy and the boys, I requested a little steel guitar to make me cry tonight, and so we're going to have a little music. Jim Barrett is going to sing some for us. Chuck Burton is even going to be here to sing a little bit with Roy and the boys, and so we're going to have fun tonight. So if you're not already a part of a life group and you like gospel singing, we'll come on and be here tonight at 6, and we'll enjoy some music, just a night of music for us tonight. Well, turn in your Bible to Daniel chapter 3, and this is one of the great stories from the Old Testament. Every once in a while you gotta preach about, we used to call them the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. You gotta preach about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Today's the day, and I'll explain kind of why I felt I was to share this morning. Just to give you a quick, hey, it looks like... I hadn't even paid attention to the graphic there. Faith in the furnace. Yeah. That's what I was trying to think, yeah. Backstreet Boys in the furnace. I wouldn't hip enough to come up with a group. Is there a One Republic? Isn't there a group called that? Yeah. Huh? One Direction? Who's the one that Gary Tedder's kid's in, Ryan Tedder? What's that? That's One Republic? Thank you very much. See, I know the dad of Ryan Tedder. Okay, well, anyway, it's an ORU connection. I'm back. All right. Took a little trip over there. The Rosses are here. This the nice lady right behind Brian and Shauna is Carolyn and her husband Dick. And he shared with me this morning just a little word of testimony here about, we're about to talk about three guys going through the fire, and it was last year. Two years ago. We read about people that die from West Nile virus. Here's somebody that came through the fire, and God brought him through long time and weeks in ICU and all that, and he's here this morning and rejoicing. Amen. Amen. He came up and said, would you just tell the church thanks for all their prayers, and he was on our prayer list a long time, and we're glad they're able to be here sharing with us this morning. Well, let me just tell you real quick the background here for these three and their fiery furnace, a quick overview. By this time, Israel and Judah, the nation that they've separated, the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah, where Jerusalem is the capital of Judah, and about 586 B.C., somewhere along in there, the Babylonian Empire is strong. King Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon comes down, invades Judah. Israel's already been kind of carried off into exile earlier. And so now Babylon comes down, captures the city of Jerusalem, destroys it, destroys the temple in Jerusalem, carries off, we don't know what happened to the Ark of the Covenant, carries off the golden vessels that were in the temple and all that, and destroys, kills a whole lot of the Jewish people, and then takes many of them into exile, marches them all the way back up into Iraq, back into Babylon. It's going to be 70 years before they'll be allowed to return to the land of Judah and back to rebuild the city of Jerusalem that's fallen. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, takes some of the sharpest young Jewish exiles, some of the sharpest young men of nobility or whatever, takes them and plans to use them in his court, to use them for service. They're young. These are young, strong teenagers. And so he brings them in. He trains them. They go to school. He trains them in science. He trains them in literature. Trains them in the culture and the religion of Babylon. It's an advanced culture and empire. And then he makes them advisors because he's got a very multicultural city and nation, because he's captured all these other countries, and so he wants input from these guys. Daniel was one of these young men, as well as the three guys we're going to focus on this morning, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's interesting that the three fellows that we're talking about this morning, we know them by their Babylonian names. Their Hebrew names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And but we only know them by their, they're given a new name. The king says, now from now on, you're Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we know them by their Babylonian name. But the strange thing is that Daniel is his Hebrew name. He gets a Babylonian name too, Belteshazzar. But if you write the book, you get to go by whichever name you want to go by, I guess. And so he sticks with Daniel, but the other guys are referred to by their Babylonian name. It has no bearing on the sermon, just a little trivia there for you. Our story opens in chapter 3 of Daniel, and King Nebuchadnezzar, a little intimidated by all that's going on. In fact, just not to divert too far here, but Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that Daniel interpreted for him, and Daniel saw a statue, an image, and he explains to him that it represents, the different parts of the statue represents different nations. And basically he says to him, King, you're a really great king and a mighty emperor, but you're going to go by the wayside and there'll be another nation and another nation and another nation. And it almost feels like Nebuchadnezzar says, oh yeah, that's the image I saw. Well, watch this. I'm going to build a greater image than even what I saw in the dream. And my kingdom and the Babylonian Empire will rule forever. So chapter 3 tells us that Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 90 feet high and 9 foot wide. This is a massive statue, made it out of gold, and erected it out in the province or the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. So he builds this massive golden statue, and then he says, we're going to have a concert numerous times during the day. And when you hear Beyonce, when you hear the music, you have to bow. Well, it wouldn't be Beyonce, but anyway. When you hear the music, you have to bow to this image. It's a whole other sermon. Mike, nice to see Mike and Mark. You can preach that one, that when the music plays, the generation is supposed to bow. That's what happens here. We bow before the artistry. And so when the music plays, he said, everybody has to bow, and if you don't, you're going to be thrown into a fiery, flaming furnace, and you're going to die. So that's the plan. What happens? The music plays, they crank it up, and everybody bows except these three. Daniel's out of town, apparently. And these three Jewish fellows, knowing that if they bow to any idol, it'd be a sin against God, they'd be breaking one of the Ten Commandments, they refuse to bow down. They're arrested, interrogated, sentenced, and thrown into a fiery furnace, but they don't die because God has other plans. And I felt drawn to the story, I think, for a couple of reasons. One, we as Christians are being called and increasingly pressured to bow down to the gods of culture and political correctness. And pressure is going to increase the longer Jesus tarries. Pressure is going to increase to silence the Christian voice. And the penalties are going to become more severe. And the temperature of the fiery furnace is going to keep rising higher and higher in the days ahead. There's going to be more pressure and more fiery furnaces that Christians are going to be thrown into for standing for the gospel and standing for Christian truth. And the question is, how are we going to respond? What will we do if we get thrown into a fiery furnace? And secondly, I felt prompted to share this morning because there are so many that find themselves in a fiery furnace or a fiery trial right now. And you heard that long list of names of our church members who are battling with cancer right now and other illness. Some are in a fiery furnace of despair and depression. Some are in a fiery furnace of conflict and strife or marital problems or financial trouble. And the question is, how do we respond when we find ourselves under attack from the enemy of our soul? How are we going to respond when we're thrown into a fiery furnace? And so we're going to look at this story this morning and see if we can learn some lessons of what to do when we find ourselves in a fiery furnace. So in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 12, let me just kind of quickly read part of this so we're more familiar with the details of the story. So there are princes and royal advisors, and the NIV gives them strange names of their positions, satraps and what are they, prefects, governors, royal advisors. So some of these guys, verse 12 tells us that they go to Nebuchadnezzar and say, there are some Jews whom you've set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, and they call them by name, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you've set up. And furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned the three, and he brought them before the king, and he said, is it true that you don't serve my gods or worship the image of gold I've set up? That when you hear the music, you're supposed to fall down. And if you don't worship, you'll be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? And the three replied to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And He'll rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if He does not, we want you to know that we'll not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you've set up. And he was furious, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie them up and throw them into the blazing furnace. And so these men, still dressed, wearing robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the fire. It's interesting that they tell you that they're all clothed. And the king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the men who took them up to throw them in, firmly tied, it says, they fell into the blazing furnace and they died. And then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men we tied up and threw into the fire? And they said, certainly, O king. And he said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods. And Nebuchadnezzar approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. And they came out of the fire, and the satraps and prefects and governors and royal advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed, their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. That's the story. Now, look back at verse 25. Nebuchadnezzar said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods. The first thing we need to do when we find ourselves thrown into a fiery furnace, keep walking through the fire. Fiery furnaces are no place to stop, no place to try to, you know, camp. Near a campfire is one thing. In the campfire is a bad plan. And the king saw 4 men walking around in the fire. You've got to keep walking. Don't quit. Don't give up when you find yourself in a fiery trial, when you find yourself in a place of testing and trial. Through all these years of pastoring and ministry, I've seen people get discouraged because of tests that they go through, trials that come, problems that happen, or illness comes, or a loss of some kind. And in the midst of that fiery trial, they stop serving Jesus. It's like they just throw up their hands and give up. It's just too hot. It's just too hard. And they, in despair, throw up their hands and give up. And I'm telling you, don't give up when you're in the midst of a fiery furnace. Keep moving so you can get out of there. I mean, if you suddenly step on something hot, you're going to move to try to get off of it. Well, keep moving. Keep walking through because you don't want to stay there. You know, fire can't burn what it can't catch. I just try to keep moving and hopefully, you're going to avoid this somewhere or another. I asked this morning in the 9 o'clock service. There was not a boxing aficionado there. Did anybody watch NBC last night and see the boxing match? You did. Me and Sydney. We're the only. Okay, there's a few more. Okay, Carl. I can't believe. Did you see those heavyweights at the end? I'm telling you what, that guy was hitting hard, man. The heavyweight champion. I mean, it hurt me every time he hit that fellow from France. Fighting, and I was hurting for the boy. I kept every round. I think they're going to throw in the towel for that boy because he just wouldn't go down. But I mean, you talk about somebody hitting hard. And I thought about that a little bit and thought here would be my preparation, my approach. Now, what are y'all laughing at? I might know a thing or two. I don't know. I happen to know that. That straight back through there, about 10 rows, is a man named Bobby Wilson that went about 3 rounds with Sonny Liston one time. I'm telling you the honest truth right back there. Now, let me tell you, this would be my plan on how to handle Sonny Liston or Bobby Wilson or Carl Kennedy, for that matter, at this stage. My training regimen would be to train for a marathon to run, because my plan would be those boys can't hit what they can't catch. All right. And I can't outbox them, but maybe I can outrun them. And so that's going to be my training regimen. I'm just going to be running in there. If I'm in a fiery furnace, I'm not pulling up a chair. I'm running, trying to see if I can get away from the flames or whatever. I want to keep moving. What I'm telling you this morning is keep moving. Stay on course. Stay close to Jesus. And wherever He's going, that's where you want to go. Listen, it's part of living in this broken world that trials come, that sickness comes, trouble comes. It's part of being a Christian and resisting the call to compromise and sin. That because of that, then we resist and persecution or ridicule comes. But don't stop walking with Jesus when you're going through a fiery trial. Again, I've got a feeling those three, when the fourth man showed up, and whether that's Jesus or an angel, whoever it was that God sent, I'm pretty sure that at least one of the three said, "Stay by that guy," all right? And so they were trying to get as close to Jesus as they possibly could because He magically appeared and He wasn't a flame. He wasn't catching on fire. I want to stay close to the one that knows how to get through the fire, and Jesus is the one that knows how to do that this morning. Stay close to Jesus. Follow Him. Job in his fiery trial said, "My feet have closely followed His steps. I've kept to His way without turning aside." That's in chapter 23 of Job. Keep walking with Jesus through the fire. And remember, the important word here is through. You're going through a fiery trial. You're not going into this thing to stay there. You're not going to live in the fiery trial. You're going to go through it. You're going through this trial to someplace else. You're going somewhere. And listen to me this morning. Somewhere in that trial, or on the other side of that trial, or maybe because of that trial, you're going to see God's glory. In it, through it, in the midst of it, because of it, there's going to be glory. You're going to come out on the other side changed and proven and mature and tested and complete and victorious. Job, in that same chapter, Job 23, he said, "And when God has tested me, I will come forth as gold." You're going to come forth as shining gold. One way or another, God's going to be glorified and you're going to experience His victory. Listen, if you're in the midst of a fire, here's the truth. If I live through this, I'm going to live with Jesus. And if I die in the midst of this fire, I'm going to live with Jesus. Either way, I'm going to live with Jesus. Vicki Arnold wrote a song, "Either way, I win. If the Lord heals me, or if He doesn't and He heals me in glory, either way, I win." Folks, we can't lose if we stay close to Jesus. There's victory for us in the midst of the fire. Stay close and keep walking with Jesus, and we're going to get through this. Notice this, these three guys had already made up their mind about how they're going to live their lives. They'd already decided whatever comes and whatever happens, we're going to keep walking and serving the Lord regardless. So remember, they told the king, if we're thrown into the blazing furnace, if, because they weren't sure He was going to go through with it, maybe God would keep them from even having to be thrown in the fire. He says, if we're thrown in, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and we believe He'll rescue us from your hand. However, even if He doesn't, we want you to know we've already made our decision. We'll not serve your gods, and we won't worship the image of gold that you've set up. And I'll tell you this morning, I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what's around the corner, but I've already made up my mind that whatever comes, I'm going to walk with Jesus. I'm going to live for Him and serve Him. Folks, there's no place to stop. We've come too far in this thing to turn around or to quit. And so keep walking with Jesus, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of how hot the fire is. They said they were going to turn it up 7 times hotter. James, can fire be hotter than one fire hotter than the next? Is that how that works? You're becoming a fireman? Yeah? It can be? All right. The rest of you firemen, is that the truth? Well, you're a probie, right? Or whatever. I'm just checking. You know, I want to check you out. So, to me, it's like, well, that fire is hotter than the other. I'm not sticking my hand in it either way. Like, check the temp on that, would you? That looks like it's 7 times hotter. Back it off 3 knobs. I'm still not sticking my hand in there to find out. Fire is fire to me. But he says it's 7 times hotter. But listen, I don't care how hot the fire is, I'm still going through with Jesus. He's going to see me through to victory, either on the other side or in the midst of this. But either way, I'm going to keep walking with Jesus through the fiery furnace. Well, here's the second thing to remember in a fiery furnace. Don't be surprised by the fire. Don't be surprised there's fire. You see, I said a minute ago, trials are a part of life. It happens when you live in a fallen and broken world. It happens because Sometimes we bear the consequences of our own sin and mistakes and failures. And the truth is, sometimes we bear the consequences of other people's failures and mistakes. You're just innocent, minding your own business, driving to work, and somebody else suffers the consequences, and they're drunk and drive into you, and suddenly we're suffering because of somebody else's sin or failure or mistake. It happens in this world. The Bible says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed." King James Version actually says, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that's come to try you." Fiery trials come with this life. And if a trial comes, don't immediately start thinking, "Well, why is God punishing me?" You know, something bad happens and we think, "Well, why is God mad at me? What's He doing? What did I do to deserve this?" And it might be a good question. Some we probably do need to ask, "Did I do something? Did I do something? Is this the consequence of something?" So, you know, if you smashed your thumb with a hammer, well, it could be that you shouldn't have been holding your thumb on the top of the nail instead of at the side. There are consequences that you suffer for things, and then you don't have to say, "Well, why is this happening to me?" The answer is, "Well, I'm stupid, and so it's happening to me because it goes with stupid." But there's other stuff that just happens to us, and we're thinking, "Well, is God punishing me?" Listen, I realize we kind of think Christians shouldn't ever have any trouble. We shouldn't have problems like this. And I'll say it again, believers in Christ are not exempt from troubles and trials. It just goes with life on the planet, all right? It's just part of living in a broken and fallen world. Now, I don't go around expecting trouble. I don't wake up every morning and think, "Well, I wonder what kind of bad stuff is going to come my way today." I wake up some mornings and think, "I wonder what bad things I have to deal with today, because I know there's, you know, whatever." But I don't wake up wondering, you know, what things just around the corner. The Bible says goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. I know that I'm surrounded by His presence. I know God's got something good in store for me. So I don't wake up dreading that. But let me just say that when trouble comes, I don't think, "Well, why in the world would that happen?" Or whatever. It's part of living on the planet. This kind of thing happens. Let me let you in on a little secret here. I know this, get your pen and your paper ready, because a lot of people don't know this. A lot of churches don't preach this, but I'm going to let you in on this little secret here. Christians, followers of Christ, get old and suffer aches and pains. Okay? Can I get a witness on that? Yeah. All right. Come on. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. And, you know, it's interesting because I kind of hear it from men sometimes more than women. It's like, "I don't understand what's wrong with me. I don't understand why God won't help me, because I used to be able to chop down trees and, you know, wrestle bears and mow the lawn 6 acres with a push mower. I don't mean a power push mower. I mean one of the, you know, and I just can't seem to be." You're 95 years old. That's why you can't do that anymore, all right? Joshua and Caleb, maybe they could in the Old Testament. Their eyes didn't grow dim or whatever, and their strength didn't diminish or whatever. But the rest of us, this is just the way this happens. And just to carry it just a little bit further, Christians get old and they suffer aches and pains, and then they die. And we're not changing that until Jesus comes back and changes all that. But that's the reality of this thing. And I'm always amazed sometimes when we kind of go, "I just don't understand why this is happening." It's because of biology. It's because of living on the planet. It's because this is the way this goes. And the sand all in the hourglass, it all eventually runs out. And then that's all, as they say, that's all she wrote. And I don't even know what she was writing, but that's it. It's done. That's just the way this is. I suddenly think I'm Donald Trump. What's with that? I need something on my head. Now, if this goes out and I hear from Donald, yeah, that preacher in Tulsa, he's kind of low energy. He's kind of a lightweight. Anyway, yeah, he hadn't seen me. He's calling me a lightweight. Well, anyway, back to the sermon. It's just part of what happens. On top of that, on top of the reality that we're living and stuff happens or whatever, the devil really doesn't like us. He doesn't like us. And he wants to discourage us and defeat us if he can. He wants to throw us into fiery furnaces. And we may suffer for the gospel's sake and for taking a stand. And the truth is, certainly, we make sacrifices and we deny ourselves what the writer of Hebrews called the pleasures of sin. We deny ourselves participating in some of those sins because we know that it's destructive, it's not pleasing to God. And in that, some can say, well, I suffered. I said, no, I can't be a part of that, and it cost me a job or it cost me, you know, something else because I took this stand. We may suffer for the cause of Christ. Here's what the Bible says in Psalm 34. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from them all. He delivers us out of them. NIV says, a righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers us from them all. In the same passage we read in 1 Peter says, if you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed, but praise God that you bear His name. We don't have to hide or be ashamed that we have trials. It always throws me that pastors and preachers sometimes don't want anybody to know that, well, I got sick or I've had this trial or whatever. Why? Because you're not a human being and you don't have problems? People need to know that, yeah, don't be ashamed that we've had struggles. Trials come, but our response, rather than shock and surprise, is trust and confidence. Yeah, I'm in a fiery trial. Yeah, there's problems there, but guess what? My God is mighty and able to deliver. My God is able. My God is greater. My God is stronger. And He delivers us out of all of our afflictions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, the God we serve is able to save us, and He'll rescue us. They were confident and they were trusting in God's power to deliver them, but they were also confident in His sustaining grace and power. He'll deliver us, but if He doesn't, He's going to keep us and sustain us, and it's going to be all right, regardless of God's purposes. Even if He chooses not to deliver us from this trial, our resolve is we will not serve any other God. We're going to remain steadfast. Don't be surprised if trouble comes, because it will somewhere along the way. But don't stop trusting in the God who is able to deliver us out of every trial, out of every fiery furnace that life or the devil tries to bring our way. It's one of the paradoxes of the Christian life that trials come and we have to go through them. And all of us, I know, kind of say, well, why doesn't He just exempt us from all the trouble? I mean, why, after I've served the Lord, I gave my heart to Him, I've lived for Him, why do I still have to go through trouble? And I've argued with God and pointed my finger at Him and yelled and cried and pouted and all kinds of things. Lord, why can't You just put that big gospel blessing dome over us, you know? And maybe allow us like 10 people we can bring in. So we bring our kids and whoever will pay us the money, and we get them gathered in, and we're packed on our little dome, and we don't get allergies, our nose doesn't run, we don't get wax in our ears, our feet don't, we don't have problems, nothing broken ever happens, no divorce, no death, no nothing. We're like the bubble boy living in this globe dome, and never, the devil knows to leave us all alone. And I think, well, why couldn't it be like that? And it's not. It's just not. Here's what the Lord said through the prophet Isaiah. I love this. Isaiah 43. Fear not. Look how powerful. Fear not. I've redeemed you. I've summoned you by name. He knows you by name. And you're mine, He says. Right? So it starts off great. Fear not. I've redeemed you. You belong to Me. I know you by name. And you're mine. And then in spite of that, in spite of the fact I'm redeemed, in spite of the fact that He knows me, in spite of the fact that I belong to Him, He says, now, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Wait. I'm redeemed and you know me by name and I belong to you. Why do I have to go through waters? He's not talking about a splash pad, all right? He's talking about flood waters. Why am I going to have to go through that? And He says, but I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they won't sweep you away. And when, not if, but when you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned and the flames won't set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And we want to argue with God about why we're having to go through storms and flood waters and overflowing rivers. And why do I have to walk through the fire, God? And I don't know why, but how? How about focusing on the fact that He said, I'm going to be with you and the flood won't overwhelm you. And the river's not going to wash you away. And the fire's not going to consume you. Because I'm going to be with you on this thing. And I'm taking you somewhere. And you can trust Me on that. You're swept away in a river.
But at the end of it, we kind of stand up and, boy, shake all the water off and think, well, hey, I'm a couple of miles further down the road than I was when I fell in back there. This turned out for my good after all. Man, there was dangerous territory I had to walk through. Who knew I could swim through the rapids and be down here? Lay out, dry out a little bit, and we're good to go. The river's not going to destroy you. The flood's not going to do anything. The fire won't burn you. The good news is that He is with you. The river just gets you to your destination quicker. The flood just washes dirt and grime off of you. The fire just burns off stuff that doesn't belong. Why? Because He said, when you pass through these things, when you do, I'm going to be right there with you. I'm going to see you through every step of the way. Look at that last line. It says, because I am the Lord your Savior. He's our Savior, and He's going to take us through. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are walking around in the fire, and what the Lord promised through Isaiah is happening to them. The flames didn't set them ablaze, and you may be in a fiery furnace today in your life, but you're not being consumed either. You're here this morning, sitting in a Pentecostal church. It is. I need to get out. But you're here. You're here this morning, and you're still worshiping God. You still stood up during worship and said, thank God for your victory. And even though I'm in the midst of a fire, you still served and you still paid your tithe and you're still coming to Day of Hope to help somebody. It feels like you're ablaze, but you're not. You haven't been consumed. And it's still happening for you. You may have to put a little fire out every once in a while, but it's not going to burn you. It's all right. God's in this fire with you. Here's the next thing you need to remember if you find yourself in a fiery furnace. Expect to find freedom in the fire. Look at this. The only thing that got burned in the fire was the ropes that had them bound. This thrills me. They were freer in the fire than they had been all trussed up and standing in front of the king. Notice it describes all the clothes they had on. They still had their hat on. I love that. They had their turban on. They're dressed like good Babylonians, not like good Jewish boys. They're dressed like Babylonians. They've got the turban on their head and all their robes and stuff. And the writer makes note of that. Like, he kept his hat on through the fire. They didn't even, it wasn't even like, whoo, man, it's like a sauna in here. What is this, like a fiery furnace? Me. So they kept their hat on. They just walked around in there. And the only thing that came off, because it tells you they bound them up tighter than ever. It says they were firmly tied. And so he makes a point of this. And the king said, I see four guys, and they're unbound and unharmed. The only thing that came off were the ropes that they had tied them up with. I said it earlier, if you keep walking with Jesus and trusting Him, you're going to come through the fire proven and mature and stronger and refined with greater faith and confidence. And the only thing you lose in the fire is the stuff that had you bound and was holding you back. The stuff that kept you shackled and that kept you from being everything God was calling you to be. Trials have a way of refining us. Trials have a way of burning out the chaff and the impurities and the stuff that doesn't belong. Trials have a way. Fiery furnaces have a way of burning off the unnecessary things that hold us back or that try to destroy us. And the last verse of the chapter says that after this fiery trial, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. The only thing that was burned off of them was anything that was holding them back. And at the end of the trial, God launches them into greater service, into greater influence, into a greater position, a greater destiny than they ever could have had without the fiery furnace. You need to hear this morning. And as I worked on this message, I felt the Holy Spirit prompting me for somebody in this place that, again, what the Scripture says, what the devil meant for evil, God is going to work out for your good. And you thought this trial that you're going through, this fiery furnace, was going to destroy you, and instead, God is going to bring about a greater victory in you and to you and for you than you could have ever imagined. He is at work in the fire, and freedom is coming, and healing is coming, and provision is coming, and a greater revelation of His mercy and love and compassion is coming. And instead of being consumed by that fiery trial, you're about to be a blazing witness to God's glory and His provision. You're about to be free of the shackles that couldn't come off and wouldn't come off any other way. You're about to learn something of God's power and faithfulness and love that you've never known before. So don't stop and don't quit. Don't don't give up, but give thanks to God and rejoice and keep on walking through the fire. You thought that this was the end. That situation you're in right now, that fiery trial that you're in right now, you thought this was the end. And God says, this is the beginning. This is the beginning, not the end. Hear Him this morning. You thought it was the end, but God says, this is the beginning. Here's the next thing. Let God get glory through the fire. Because think about this. God trusted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He thought even if they have to go through this fiery trial, or even when they go through this fiery trial, they won't stop serving me. They won't stop putting their trust in me. They won't stop loving me. He knew what their testimony would be. And I believe God needed someone in Nebuchadnezzar's court to be faithful and to be a witness in spite of the trial, in spite of what was coming. God needed somebody that He knew would be strong enough to witness to Nebuchadnezzar to say, our God is greater, watch this. And He found it in these three teenage boys. When God brought them through the fire, look what happened. Verse 27 says, the satraps and prefects, governors and royal advisors crowded around them. They'd come out of the fire. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Now understand the significance of this testimony. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were part of a conquered people. They're our heroes because they're good Hebrews, but understand the Babylonians looked at them like they were a defeated people, all right? They won the war, and they were there as captives. And not only were the Hebrew people there as captives, but in the minds of the Babylonians, their God was there as a captive as well, all right? Everybody had a god. Babylonians had a few gods, Assyrians had gods, Canaanites had gods, and the Jewish people had a god. The pagans couldn't figure it out because they worshipped idols and they had figures that showed you what their god looked like. The Israelites didn't have any of that. What they did have was a temple. And in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, they had an Ark of the Covenant and they had gold and silver vessels that were used in the ministry. And if you read about it, when Nebuchadnezzar conquered Jerusalem, he brought all that stuff back. We don't know what happened to the Ark of the Covenant, but he brought all those instruments of temple worship and the golden candlestick and all that. He brought it back because Belshazzar later on is going to have a party with some of it. He brought it all back because they couldn't find a god. It wasn't an idol, but they thought, well, this is some kind of magical thing that these people must worship or something. It's in a really classy room. And so they bring it back. And the idea of the Babylonians was, we'll add it to the gods. It's another one to pray to. He's subservient to our God, because if He was any kind of God at all, He would have whipped us when we were fighting in Jerusalem. And instead, we conquered the Jews and we conquered their God, and we brought them all back captive to Babylon. So in Nebuchadnezzar's mind, he and all his gods are greater than all the gods of all the rest of the world. And so here's these Hebrews being thrown into the furnace, and here's their little God who it's so wimpy that he doesn't even have an image to show us what he looks like. And all of a sudden then, three guys and now four guys are walking around in a flaming furnace, and they walk out and they're all just fine, unharmed. And not, what's going on here? And so unscathed by all of this, and it says not even the smell of smoke was on them. Their robes weren't scorched. Their hats not moved. No harm had come to them. And the only thing that went up in smoke is the perception of the Babylonians that their gods were greater than the God of the Hebrews. And all of a sudden everything changes. Nebuchadnezzar says, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent His angel and rescued His servants. They trusted in Him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree, and this was good Babylonian style, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego should be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other God can save in this way. It was kind of a harsh evangelistic tool, but it seemed to work. Still happening, unfortunately, in the Middle East right now. We've got to stop. But here, you may be going through the fire right now and you're wondering how in the world God can turn any of this that I'm in the middle of into something good. And think of it may not be for you. It may not just be for you. Think about our heroes in this story. There were going to be 70 years of exile. 70 years, Jeremiah had already prophesied, 70 years before the Jews were released from Babylon to go back to Judah. 70 years. And it wasn't just the persecution. It wasn't just the threat that they were going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Persecution would have kept them on their toes, you know. If you serve your God, well, that would be easier to deal with. You know what the greatest fear was? Was assimilation. The greatest fear was that they were going to say, look, you got your God, we've got our gods, all the same thing, you know. And so, just come on, dress like us, get along, learn our language, learn our culture. Come on, be Babylonian. And you can worship your God, but worship our gods too. I mean, what's the problem? We got a really nice temple and we show movies and give away popcorn. Come on, let's go. And so we're all in there and having a good time and we get assimilated in the culture. Marry our Babylonian girls. They're lovely. And so they get assimilated into the culture. And it's kind of like, well, you know, God's not doing much here and we're exiled. And we might as well make ourselves at home. And they lose their God and they lose their identity and they lose the holiness to which He had called them to. And it was going to be 70 years. 70 years away from home and 70 years away from the temple that had been destroyed. 70 years without sacrifice. 70 years without hearing the shofar that called them to the feast and all those things. And so 70 years. And maybe it wasn't just about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Maybe it was about the story that was going to be told that over the next 70 years, even though they're trying to pull them into the culture, the Hebrews kept saying, but our God is greater. Remember what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That they tell us that our gods are the same as their gods, that our God delivered them out of a blazing fiery furnace, that the fire couldn't consume them. It didn't even singe the hair on their head. Let's see the Babylonian gods do this. Let's see Nebuchadnezzar's God deliver. There is no God that can deliver like our God. We're the people of the living God. And they held on to that. And it wasn't just about those three Jewish boys. It was about the next generation and the next that could look back and say, you know what? We thought we'd been exiled and drug off to this God-forsaken world, but God hasn't left us after all. He was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire, and He's with us in our fire, and He's going to see us through. And suddenly there was a witness there that kept them going. Listen, friends, keep walking with Jesus. Keep trusting Him in the midst of the fire because someone is watching right now to see your life and how you're going to handle this. Somebody needs your witness. Somebody needs your testimony. So if you go to work tomorrow, if you go to school tomorrow, and you notice people standing near you that kind of know you are going, you think, what in the world's going on? They're just sniffing to see if they can smell smoke on you. Not about whether it's smoke or not, but they're sniffing to see. Well, they may be doing that too, but they're sniffing to see because they know what you've been going through. They're sniffing and thinking, I don't get this because I know what you're dealing with. I know what's happening in your home. I know you've been going through radiation and chemotherapy. I know your mom was in the hospital. I know what you're dealing with. I know about the battles you're having to fight, but you're not being consumed in the midst of it. I know you're having trouble with your kids. I know your mom and dad are splitting up. I know what's happening to you. Why aren't you being consumed? And they can't understand it. And you're able then to testify and tell them what we know, that the Lord is with me in the midst of this fire. And that's what they need to hear. And that's what they've got to know. Hallelujah. They gathered around and poked and prodded and said, I don't get it, man. There's not even the smell of smoke. Look at that. They still got their eyebrows. There's hair on their arm. I don't understand it. What's happened to them? And they're able to say, here's what happened. The Lord who delivered us, He's the God who's still with us. He's with us all the way through the fire. He promised, the writer of Hebrews reminds us of God's promise, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. When we pass through the water, when we pass through the flood, when we pass through the fire, when you go through the tornado like we did, when you go through the tragedies of life, when you go through the loss of a loved one, when you go through chemo and radiation, when you go through surgery, when you go through pain and separation, when you go through long nights of worry and fear and despair, He is still with us. He's with us in the fire. That's how we're going to make it today. Moses told Joshua as he prepared, Bryce, come back and it'll make them think I'm just about done if you're playing music. Which I am. But Moses told Joshua As he prepared to go in the promised land, Moses said, "The Lord himself goes before you and he'll be with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Don't be afraid and don't be discouraged." And I believe that's a word for somebody here today. The Lord is going before you. He's going to be with you. He'll never leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He's with you in the fire today. And he's going to bring you through shining like pure gold, tested and proven through the fire. His glory is going to be seen in you and through you. You're going to be loose from shackles that have kept you bound and kept you in captivity. You're going to experience God's grace and his power and his peace and his presence in the most difficult fire of your life. But you'll come through on the other side saying, "You know what? I've got greater faith for the journey. I've got greater confidence in the God who's able to deliver and to see me through." You're going to have a greater testimony. You're going to have a broader influence, a wider witness than you've ever had before. He's brought you through thus far. Don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. He's not finished. He's going to bring you on through. Listen to me this morning. Look around. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. They looked around in the fire and found out they weren't alone in the fire. It may feel lonely where you are this morning. You may feel like you don't have a friend, one, in this world. But look around in the fire, because you're not alone. He's there with you. He's there with you in the midst of the flame. He's never left you, never forsaken you, and he's not about to start. Andre said, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Folks, that's it. We're going to keep walking with him. We're going to trust him and we're going to make it. He's going to take us through. Amen? Amen. Stand to your feet this morning. If you're here today, I know it's a little late, but it's all right. If you're here and you're going through a fiery trial, would you just come and just stand here at the front? I want to pray with you this morning. Then we're done. I promise. Come on. You're in a trial. You're in a fire right now. Come on. I want to pray. Come on. I want to pray for you right now. Come on. You're in a fiery trial. You're not going to get trapped. We're not signing up for anything. We're just going to pray this morning because there's a fire. And you're thinking, how are we going to get through this? And I'm going to tell you, we're going to get through it because God's faithful. How are we going to get through the flood and the fire? I know, because the Lord is with us. The Lord's with us. That's how we're going to get through. That was, you don't know what's going on my job. I don't know, but I know who's with you on the job. I know who's with you in the fire. I know that. I don't have to know the rest of the details. I just know who's with us in the fire. He's not about to forsake us, not about to leave us. He's not bailing out on us. He's with us. Maybe you got somebody down here that you love and care about. You may want to just come down and stand with them or put your hand on their shoulder or something just to let them know they're not alone in this fire either, you know? Jesus is with them, but you're kind of with them too. That's all right. That's all right. We're going to stand together in this. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that even through the fire, it's going to be all right. Even through the fire, we're going to make it. Even through the fire. Would you stretch your hands toward our friends that are here this morning? Father, in Jesus' name, we come this morning because some of us are in a fire. We're in a fire that we don't know how we're going to get through this, but oh God, you are so faithful, so we're not afraid this morning. We're not afraid and we're not going to be discouraged. You're the God who brings us through the fire. Hallelujah. You're with us in the fire. You're faithful in the fire. You're a deliverer in the fire. Oh Lord, you're the one that brings us through the flood and the river and the fire, and we're not overwhelmed by it. It doesn't consume us. Instead, Lord, we're ablaze with your glory and your strength and your might. You're the one who's faithful to us in the fire. You're with us, Lord, in the fires we're going through. Whatever's happening in our life, Lord, you're faithful. The faithful God who's with us, Lord, you're with us in the fire. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that all that's coming off are the ropes that have had us bound. The only thing holding us, Lord, you're setting us free because you've got something greater for us. You've got a new purpose for us, for our family. Lord, we claim it in the name of Jesus. The devil can't have us, can't have our family, can't have our future, Lord. It belongs to you in the mighty name of Jesus. We claim it today. There's victory for us. Even in the fire, there's victory for us, Lord. You're going to see us through that fire. You're going to see us through the flood, Lord. There's victory for us today. There's victory for us today, Lord. Oh God, you brought us through fires before. You spared our life, Lord, and the God who's faithful to see us through one fire is the God who's faithful to see us through the next one. Over and over again, Lord, you proved yourself faithful on our behalf. through the fire and through the flood, you're there with us, Lord. I thank you for it. Thank you, you're our healer and our provider today, Lord. Thank you that we don't have to be afraid today. We won't be discouraged, but you're the faithful God who stands with us today in victory and in power. The Lord is our Savior. You're the one that makes a way where there seems to be no way. You're the one that's with us in the fire, and we have no reason to be discouraged. Oh God, you've never forsaken us. You're not about to start now. We haven't forsaken you, and we're not going to start now either, Lord. We're going to keep walking with you. We're going to walk through this fire, Lord. We're going to get out of this thing. You're going to take us through into victory in the name of Jesus, Lord. For everybody in this crowd today, for all that have come to the front, Lord, and across this building, let your glory and your victory and your power be seen in their lives, in their circumstances, Lord. Oh, come show yourself mighty in their behalf today, Lord. Do what no other power can do in the midst of the fire. Father, I pray for students that are here this morning, their mom and dad are going through a fire. There's a testing going on in their home. And those children are praying for mom and dad that their marriage will hold together, the family will hold together. God, I pray for those students. Encourage them today that even in the midst of that fire, you're with them. Oh, God, and we won't walk away from you. We're going to walk through this thing with you, Lord. For couples that are struggling right now, Lord, there's victory for them. For some of our elders, Lord, that are wrestling with pain and sickness, God, strengthen them today. Let them know that you're with them through the fire. You're with them in the midst of their circumstances. God, you are faithful to us, and it's going to be all right. We trust you today because you're good. You are good, and your mercy endures forever. And we thank you for it, Lord. We rejoice in you. We believe you, Lord, that in this, through this, on the other side of this, there's victory. And your glory is going to be seen. And what the enemy may have meant for evil, God, you're going to work it for good. You're going to get glory. The trajectory of our life changes as we surrender ourselves to you and to your grand purpose. Come, Lord, and be strong in our behalf. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and we thank you for it. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a shout of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. Thank you, Lord, that you are victorious today. Hallelujah. And we walk with you. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thanks for being here today. We'll see some of you tonight at 6. Be in your life groups or Wednesday night or next Sunday for Day of Hope.